So if you were at the UCLA Jazz Festival earlier this year, then you heard about my next guest performing with her partner Robin Hannibal as part of the dynamic duo known as Quadron. Quadron's self-titled album made quite a splash last year, turned up on a lot of best of lists. Electro Soul out of Copenhagen. My guest Coco has been performing all over the world. They touched down for a series of shows, LA, New York, Philly, San Francisco. I was lucky enough to get some time with Coco before they took off for a show in DC. So here we go with my interview with Coco, who's one half of the duo Quadron. Coco, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
So good to have you here with me today, and thank you so much for your time. So you've been here in LA as part of your American tour, first time in the U.S., yes?
Yes.
How have you enjoyed our fair country so far?
Well, this time around, we feel really home. We got to know some wonderful people last time and some wonderful musicians, and it just made it a lot easier this time. So, yeah, it feels like our second home almost.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, how long were you here the first time you were here?
The first time we were here, 3 months. No, sorry, 3 weeks. And then we went to New York for the last week.
Okay.
And this time we stayed in LA, I think, the first 10 days or so.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've been here for like almost 5 days.
Okay.
After we came back from the Bay Area.
Tell the truth, which city do you like better?
Oh. I wonder when this question would drop. Well, I mean, San Jose and San Francisco was really, really nice to us.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of fans in San Jose. It was kind of overwhelming, also because we'd never been there before. But I must say that LA has got our backs.
Yeah.
Really.
For sure.
We can totally tell that we have a fan base out here, and it's very, very, very lovely to experience all the love.
Now, I heard about your album, your music, last year, courtesy of a website called Soul Bounce. I don't know if you're familiar with them. One of the earliest times, or the time I remember sort of hearing about your music on their site, was like September of 09, and then it's a collective of people that produced this music blog. And by the year's end, everybody had your album on their top 10 list. I went back there to check out some of the comments and things from people. And one of them was, who knew Danish folks were putting it down like this? What a wonderful surprise. And then someone else on the blog, whose name is Copenhagen Girl, said, though I live in Denmark, I had never heard of them before.
Wow.
So I wanted to know from you basically just about your career within music in Denmark, sort of what you were into before you hooked up with Robin, how that all came together. Basically get a sense of the size of the music scene there.
Well, Copenhagen is very small. Denmark is a very small country, so the capital is therefore very small too. So it seems like you almost know almost all of the musicians or all of the creative artists coming from Copenhagen. So it was only a matter of time, I think, before me and Robin, we met. I was only 16 the first time we met. So in that period of my life, I was just, you know, starting to do music professionally. I was singing with some DJs in nightclubs. I don't know if you can call that professionally, but I got paid.
It's professionally.
Yeah. And I really much enjoyed that because it was like the first time I got my voice out there, even though it was only for like nightclub guests. But I got really good response of it. We had a friend, me and Robin, without knowing we both had him as a friend. But I sang with him. He was a DJ. And then one day he said to me that now we're going to go to this record store and this guy you're going to meet is a very good musician, and I was very excited, and we invited him to one of our shows so he could hear me sing. That was a part of the plan, and he never showed up. But that was cool. Some weeks later we played at the same venue, and he he had a release with the Boom Clap Bachelors' first album.
Mm-hmm.
So they heard me sing, and I met all of the guys from Boom Clap Bachelors. And I think actually one of the guys asked me the same evening if I would like to join the live band. Mm. They were looking for some singers. I accepted immediately. I was a fan. So it was great for me.
Okay.
And yeah, then I joined the live band with Boom Clap Bachelors, and our relationships with the guys in the group developed just from there.
Well, they're Boom Clap Bachelors prior to his work with Owusu and Hannibal?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so that was really, really early going. Now, you said this was the first time that you were ready to sort of get your voice out there and singing over beats that DJs were making. Prior to doing that, what did you sort of envision? What kind of singing career did you envision? Were you, you know, full band? Were you going jazz singer, soul, pop? Did you have anything really in mind at that time?
Yeah, it changes, you know. So it was like at one point I just wanted to go to Brazil and South America, maybe do some working in a bar and then start singing with a Brazilian bossa nova band. And I could totally picture my life there, just getting kids, getting married. And but then I figured that I even wanted to sing on a cruise, just sing standards on a cruise.
Right.
Just for the experience. And at one point I wanted to be a jazz singer. But I was kind of looking for a producer to work with.
Okay.
Because I don't play any instruments, I'm not really eager to learn it, so I guess I'm not ready to make my own music, you know, just Coco music. So I would love to work with a partner, and it wasn't as we planned it. It was more like it happened naturally. Me and Robin working together, because we liked working together, and we thought the music was good we made.
What's the type of music you said, you know, playing with DJs? So you're singing over, at that time, what sort of hip hop or just, you know, sort of,
yeah.
Did it have any?
Well, it was
style?
More like what the DJs could get instrumental. So it was very different. One of the DJs was more a hip hop soul DJ,
mm-hmm.
And another DJ is very electronic. Electronic music is very big in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more like house and very hard beats, electronic beats. That was difficult. It's like making a new song in the moment every time, and you have to be doing that for like 2 hours. So it's like just make up stuff all the time. It was, yeah, it's difficult, but it's very challenging.
Okay. You've been embraced here, certainly for the soulful aspects of your music. What is that scene like in Denmark, or what is your exposure to that music?
The scene in Denmark is primary rock and electronic music. That is what gets airplay, and that is what people want to hear when they're out. So soul music is a minority, and is something that people would have maybe a Stevie Wonder album, definitely Michael Jackson, and I don't know. That's about it, what you would find in a record collection. If I'm generalizing my country. Yeah.
But there's no place on the radio where you would hear it. There's no club where you would go see people doing covers of...
No clubs. There would be a cover band maybe doing some R&B songs, but that is... there's no clubs. And I've been... Yeah, that's a shame. I really want the soul club, but
sure.
We don't have the audience for it. So even booking a job in Denmark is difficult for us, because there's no... there's just not the audience. There's not enough people in the country. So it's like we have like a small group that loves soul, but that is only like maybe a couple of hundred people compared to, you know, greater countries. That's obvious, yeah.
So that would explain why the woman on the blog would say, I'm from Copenhagen, I've never even heard of them.
But I mean, Denmark was nice to us, considering the musical background and the music, you know, that people love, because we got a lot of airplay in the one national radio station we have. And we have three songs who got a lot of airplay. So I think we got a name in Denmark, and yeah.
That you can hurt, but I'm glad that you told me. No pun intended. Everything that's for us is simply life. Living on this lie, on your dirty mattress. I can't taste the hunger. Will you be a catcher? That's simply life.
small seasons. Somebody was telling me I could alter my reasons. Somebody was telling me I could change my own seasons. Somebody was telling me I could alter my reasons.
But it was difficult from day one. It was.
So then once you and Robin hooked up and you decided to work together, how did that work? How were those sessions? Did you come into it with a specific idea of what you wanted to do? Or did you just sort of did he just play you some things that he'd already had? Or
yeah, it started out with we had to do some songs for the next Boom Clap Bachelor's album. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of, I had sung all the songs they already had done for the second Boom Clap Bachelor's album. I had just sang them live, but on the album it would be Robin singing them. So it was like, okay, now we got to do the new album and you're definitely going to be on it. And then he had some demos and I would make up some melodies and we would together make some lyrics for it, for Boom Clap Bachelor's. But we could, I mean, it was early in the process that we heard that our sound was heading more towards soul music than the rest of the guys from the Boom Clap Bachelor's, maybe. So it was more like, okay, let's not put a label on this music right now and just make music that we feel like making. And I mean, it's always fun when you're both excited about making something and you both really like the songs that comes out. So we just started to make some songs with Boom Clap Bachelor's in our heads, though. And then I got offered, a movie director in Denmark, she offered me to make some songs for her movie, and if she liked them, she would use them. And we sent some of the songs we already done, because that would be the easiest, of course. We liked the songs, and she loved them, and they asked us to do a whole album. And that was kind of what made us say, okay, let's do an album together, because we hadn't really spoke of that before we got offered it. And yeah, so that was when the decision, you know, okay, let's do an album.
What was that? What was that movie?
It's a Danish movie, and it's called, in Danish, Se min kjole. In English, that would be translated as Look at my dress, I guess. It's from a children's song, so it sounds stupid maybe in English, but in Denmark, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so from the songs that you submitted for the movie to the Quadrant album, how has the sound changed, or has it?
Well, the songs we did for the album is the first 12 songs we have ever done. So it's not like we have developed already from one sound to another. Mm. This is our first sound. And hopefully and absolutely we will develop the next album in another sound. So or not another sound, but just, you know, we develop as persons. So therefore our music will develop as well.
What was the first song completed for this record?
Buster Keaton and Horse was the first, I think, the first songs we did.
And what was the inspiration behind that?
In that period of our lives, we were like, we had a lot of soul we wanted to get out of our bodies, I think.
Okay.
And it was just about, you know, having fun too, because there was no goal for the music. We never expected all of, you know, America and even the success in Denmark. We never expected all of that. So it's more like, what do we like, you know? Therefore, there's like the talking verse in Buster Keaton. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure we would have done that if we knew who was going to hear it, you know? It was more like for fun.
Full blood veggie dressed in fur, and your beliefs are in a blur. Phantom colors are so true, just not on the bench next to you. Maybe it's time for some self-interrogation, but you already chose your final destination. Saving the ways during the day, but at night you're making them pay. This is why you think you're on track.
FM KPFK, in case you're just tuning in, you're listening to One Track Mind with me, your host, and your DJ, Christy Lomax, playing for you an interview I did with Coco, who is one half of the Danish electro-soul duo Quadron. She stopped by KPFK a couple weeks ago for an interview while they were here on tour, so we're just playing that for you right now. So sit back and enjoy more from Coco. I mean, what were your plans then once you finished the 12 songs, since there's no real audience for it, for the music there?
We were just, and we had in our heads, like, we want to make it. We don't want to compromise any of our, you know, any of our music.
Sure.
So it was like, let's just do as many songs as we feel inspired to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie was very, you know, the director was very, and the producer was, you know, they gave us totally, you know, free hands. They were like, we would just be able to pick the songs that we want to use in the movie, mm-hmm. and the rest is up to you. We just like the music. So basically, we just made music without any specific goal other than it would be used in a movie, and that would pay some expenses. So
sure.
It was a good deal for us, a really good deal. But after that, we didn't even have a label, you know, not even in Denmark, and definitely not over here. So it was more like, you know, where will this take us? And we are blessed.
How has your voice changed? How has it developed over the course of this time making these songs to now? How have you been able to find that soul, that part of your voice that connects so well, that brings forth that emotion?
It was very difficult for me in the beginning because I was used to do what I was told. I had, you know, I did record with some other producers before I met Robin, and it was more like they had a chorus for me, and I was just to sing how they wanted me to sing. So I was like very, you know, nervous about it, and mm-hmm. was just doing what I was told, basically. Mm-hmm. So when we started to make, you know, music, it was actually tracks that I liked. Yeah, it was difficult to figure out where I was in my own voice, if you
right.
know what I mean.
Sure.
It's, yeah. But when you feel the music, I think it's easier to know what you gotta do on the track. Does it make any sense?
It does. I was gonna say, could you give an example, let's say, of how the style was developed for, let's say, Average Fruit?
Well, before, I would more sing like straightforward, you know, more like. I'm not a technical singer, so I don't know the exact words.
No, not
English, but I would be more like giving my full register all the time in my voice. And with Quadron, I kind of discovered my more sensitive way of singing, and not having to impress all the time, because there is 12 songs with my voice on it. So I had the time to like under sing the song. Instead of, if you only have like one song on an album, you gotta try to do your best to impress people and to make people remember your voice. But this was not the case. It was like 12 songs, so I could make it very emotional and very it's like when you perform live, you get the real emotions and the feedback from the audience. So if you start at level 10, it's going to be so difficult to impress the crowd and get that feedback as you want. I think as a singer, what you want from the crowd is to make them pay attention, of course, and react and respond. And you can totally feel when people feel something from your singing. So for me, it's always like start off, you know, cool, and then the hard part of singing, I think, is when to put in the right notes and when to make it mellow, when to make it cool, it's all about feeling your crowd, I think. And I hate when I have to just over sing stuff because I'm lost maybe or something. I can't hear myself, and I just have to overdo and overphrase stuff. And I hate that. That's like a failure. It's like a bummer. Yeah.
So how difficult is it in the actual recording studio then, when it's time to record and it's just you and Robin or maybe an engineer trying to find that same emotion since you have no crowd to play off of?
It depends on how fresh the song is. Sometimes it's always easy to do the demo, because it will usually be like improvised. At least that's how I like to do it, to just improvise it on top of the track. It's always more difficult when you have a specific idea, when we talk about, we want to make people feel this, and then you have to keep on thinking about this emotion and this feeling and try to do your best. But I like to improvise, but then you have to do it again, because maybe sometimes when I improvise, it would be without words, it would just be sounds. And that's always, you know, that you have to to get the same emotion and the same, you know, feeling on each word. We try to make the every note and every line and every word necessary in the song. We think a lot about that, not just letting me take away with the song and just be like, because I could do phrasings, you know, on 100 songs, but would it be 100 good songs? I doubt it. So it's more like maybe people want more. That's the thing, and it can be difficult to take out something you like, but you don't want to kill your darlings, but you have to, I think.
So who did you grow up listening to? Which singers, specifically singers, did you like growing up?
Well, I started off, my dad was a Michael Jackson fan. So when I was 6, I kind of got curious about Michael Jackson. And I had his old articles when he was young. And I just took over, and I became a Michael Jackson fan too. So he was the first. And he made me, you know, want to sing on stadiums. I wanted to do whatever he was doing. later on, my mom had a really good music taste. She was listening to Sade every night. Sade, Simply Red, and Erykah Badu, Fugees. She had the Fugees album.
Wow.
And she introduced me to Music Soul Child, and she introduced me to Jill Scott.
Your mom's pretty hip.
And she heard Stevie Wonder, of course, and all that. So I grew up to that kind of music. And then I got the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill album when I was 12, I think. And I was sold. I mean, that album is still one of the best album ever, I think. That is amazing. I mean, nobody can sing like Lauryn Hill. I mean, it's different to hear a Sade album. I would never compare the two of them.
Oh,
but
sure.
Nobody can sing like Lauryn Hill, that's for sure. And when I saw the Sisters Act 2, sorry, it's beautiful.
When you're singing, and as you started singing professionally, do you recognize, like, oh, that's sort of something I'm, you know, inspiration I've gotten from Michael or something I've gotten from Lauryn even? How do you work your own voice so you're sounding like Coco and not an imitation of all these other American?
Well, as a teenager, I didn't have any song lessons, singing lessons at all. I was not satisfied with the teachers I was introduced to, so I'd rather not have any lessons.
Right.
Kind of stupid now, but so I was just imitating Mariah Carey, Lauryn Hill, even Celine Dion, and that was what I would do in my room, just listening to the songs and try to imitate it as good as possible. So that was what I tried to do in the beginning, but then, you know, nobody wants to hear somebody trying to imitate
Absolutely.
Mariah Carey or Lauryn Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I knew my voice was not meant to sing, do all these phrases, and I would never, you know, even try to compete with their voices. I mean, I was very inspired by the way Sade can make an album sounding timeless, for me at least. If you listen to like Stronger Than Pride, I would not put a year on that album. And I like the way how she's not powerful, she's not
exactly,
she's not technical that good, but it's all about emotions, and that's what makes her interesting, I think. She's just choosing the right tones, and that is what makes a good singer, I think. Because mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of girls out there with a pretty voice. And if you, I mean, sometimes when I was younger, I would just sit there and say and think to myself, how will I ever make it when the United States is full of, you know, gospel singers and so talented women and men? So you have to find another approach to be a singer, I think, if you want to make it. You have to rely on the notes you choose and, yeah, the emotions you put into it and... Yeah, so that's what I try to do.
Okay,
I try to be as much me as I can, but I don't. I still don't know yet. I'm young, you know.
Right.
It might change for the next album. I don't know.
That's true. Well, that's what we would look forward to for sure. I mean, I totally understand what you're talking about with Sade. It's not that she's a bad singer, but I do think people connect with. There's a certain melancholy that she has in her voice, and certainly the lyrics, you know, do most of the work.
Yeah, and I think I have a lot to discover with my own voice still. I mean, I had never taken lessons, so when I do get some lessons someday, I'm sure I'm capable of a lot more than I know of. So I'm looking forward to that day too.
Is there something specific with your voice that you love to be able to do that you feel like, you know, you can't?
Well, I think there's a lot of tones that my mind has to discover. So that could be in my kind of, if you can say, tone vocabulary. Yeah. So when I do improvise, I would choose some different tones that I'm used to, because I think like singers have like something in their mindset of what they're capable of doing, so they would rely on that. And I think that if I practice more, I would discover some new notes that would suit my voice good. And of course, I would like to reach some higher notes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You want to break a glass or two?
Yeah.
You've mentioned improvising a lot. What does it really take to be a good improviser? When you're singing and when you were performing with the DJs, you weren't just doing oohs and ahs and that kind of thing, right?
No.
So it's like an MC. You're up freestyling every night. What does it take to really do that in front of a live audience and connect emotionally?
Sometimes I would think about some themes before, as I said, it's just like find two or three words or a sentence and then build on that. So it's like not the greatest lyrics, but people will never hear the song again, so it doesn't matter.
Since you've been here and touring and you're playing, I mean, you played the UCLA Jazz and Reggae Fest, which is a huge arena, playing small club. What is that like for you? Does your voice, do you feel like the music translates across the same size venues? Do you prefer the smaller, more intimate venues?
I love it all. I love the big, I would love to perform at a stadium, but I love when it's intimate as well. I think the music sounds different each time we play it for a different crowd, and depending on the ears listening to the music, it's always very exciting for us that a song can be different depending on whom listening to it. So I love it. It's still fresh, and it's been amazing to perform for an audience outside of Denmark who liked it.
I like it. And the name Quadron, where does that come from? I was curious about both the name and the artwork for the album. Was you and Robin came up with that, the artwork?
No. We had a graphic designer named Sanne Frank in Denmark who worked with the Boom Clap Bachelors cover. The point was that we didn't have to be on the cover. We all agreed on that because that is done so many times before, mm-hmm. and we want to keep it exciting somehow. Like, who is this girl? Mm-hmm. And who is the actual musicians behind? So yeah, we just liked her idea.
Okay.
And the name Quadron was we talked about names. Well, one thing we had in common was that Robin's grandfather is African American. And my grandfather, he was from Tanzania, so that makes our fathers mulattoes, and that makes us quadrons.
Okay,
and
got it.
Yeah, I got it. And that was kind of funny because in Denmark, I mean, it's still fresh that people are mixed. It's still very exciting. I mean, everybody would ask each other where they're from, mm-hmm. Because it's still new that having mixed people in Denmark. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would get asked like maybe once a day where my roots are from, even though I'm light.
Right.
And
okay.
So it's like that is like something that we wanted to like embrace in the project, that embrace our roots somehow and pay something back. And also the word quadron is can be used in many ways. Like, we thought about it could be like a quarter of different genres mixed together, and
right.
And you can make some visually artwork out of it. So, and it's a cue in the beginning. There was a lot of things that we liked about the name. I mean, in Denmark, people are very, very proud if they have a little bit of something in their blood.
Mm.
So people will call themselves, for instance, yeah, Hispanics, if they like have a Spanish grandfather. Or
sure.
My crew of girls, they're all almost mixed, and yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm very proud of it.
I'm very proud of it.
Yeah.
Very. Well, I mean, speaking with Coco, who is part of an excellent, excellent duo making some great music called Quadron, and their self-titled album Quadron is out right now and available online in record stores, courtesy of the Plug Research label. It's definitely, definitely been a pleasure to have you here, and continued success. You know, obviously LA, America, everyone that has heard the record is really in love with it. And in this day of digital music being so widely available, or music being available digitally, you know, there's so much music out there. You must feel really good to know that your record has been plucked and held up in high esteem and just loved by so many people, you know.
I'm still waiting for people to say it's a big joke. I can't believe it. So thank you. That is, yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Good luck on the rest of your tour. And like I said, we look forward to your next record.
We'd love to come back. Thank you for having me.